This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. The economy can be an unpredictable beast and your business success should never be dependent on the volatility of the market. You need to engineer a process that will ensure your business success no matter how the market performs. In today's show, our business coach, Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab, takes you through 9 specific empowered strategies to help get your business thriving in any market condition. Spend some good time discussing each strategy with your business partners and teams and get a massive and quick breakthrough in customers, revenues and profits before the year ends. Yes, it's the first Monday of the month again. It's September. Jeevan, tell us, what are the top challenges businesses are facing currently in the COVID market? It's not post-COVID yet, but it's, you know, recovery.
We hope. Yeah, well, we're, in a way, yeah, we're sort of post-COVID, mid-COVID or something like that. Well, some of the top challenges, of course, these are very interesting challenges also for, as you can see, a gradient and an improvement. When the movement control orders were in, then a lot of businesses took hits from revenue hits, profit hits, customer hits, all kinds of hits, and a lot of pivoting was taking place. Now, as the market's all open again, things are starting to move and also move very quickly. And different challenges, of course, are coming in. But namely, the number one challenge is always around the challenge of getting in customers and getting customers to return. So for many businesses, they're getting in their customers now, but whether the customers are returning is a whole new challenge again. So these are still the number one challenges. And of course, getting the teams to perform is again another challenge. So what I've done is I've come up with these 9 strategies, and they're really quick. They're really quick and fast things that you can do. You just get your thinking moving really, really quickly,
right,
and to get businesses moving, putting in some strategies really quickly as well, to start to get customers coming in, as many and as much of them as you can get them in, and to get your customers returning as well. So this is a really critical time to put these strategies in and to start to thrive, not just survive anymore, but to actually get businesses thriving. So we're going to go through them one by one for each and every one of these strategies. And they're really simple.
Right.
And again, some of it can even be common sense, but it's really simple. It's just that you got to work with your team to get these things off the ground.
And of course, we never get into the 9 strategies. We talk some more. okay, so
everyone's like, okay, can you start with the 9 already?
Many businesses, right, especially startups, are currently lack sufficient resources, right? Namely, financial resources to run sufficient marketing and sales campaigns. So will these 9 strategies you're about to share help bootstrapping companies such as these?
Yeah, definitely. So again, some strategies can cost you a fair amount of money to launch and execute. Some, of course, can cost you next to nothing. Like, for instance, forming an alliance with another business, and that doesn't even cost you anything. You can do things together. So that there's some strategies like host beneficiaries, where you know you can sit on another company's database. For instance, a hair salon can go to a beauty salon and offer the database of the beauty salon an entire the entire database a free haircut, and that strategy costs next to nothing other than a time cost on the hair salon side. So there's a whole bunch of stuff we can do. But what's really important is to get your thinking right. So that's what I'm going to get done today. We're going to get the thinking right around each of these 9 strategies, and then boom, they're going to shoot off.
Okay, should we start with the strategies now?
Okay. So let's get started. All right. So the first one. So now you look at your business. Let's look at the situation. There's so much happening in the market right now. The markets are starting to move. Everything's going in and out. Some businesses are dying. Some are starting to survive. All sorts of things are happening. So here's the first one, the big one, number one. So I phrased the strategies in the form of a question, so it's easier to get you thinking about it. So here's the first strategy, and the first question. Are you testing 5 new ways to grow your business every month? So one of the challenges is when people feel overwhelmed with the things that happen in business, they stop testing. They keep running the same old things they've been running. That may not work in a post-COVID market. It may not work currently in whatever you're doing. So I kept it really simple. 5 new ways every month. So get into a culture of talking to your partners, talking to your staff, and saying, hey, guys, this month, what are we going to test? What are 5 new ways to grow our business that we're going to test? You can test anything. You may want to test, for instance, a new lead generation strategy that you've never thought of. Maybe you decide, okay, we're going to test small billboards. We go somewhere where billboards are really cheap now. So you take a small billboard somewhere and you're going to test it out. So that's something you want to test. You may want to test a huge LinkedIn campaign. Or you might want to test a different offer that you've never had in your business before. But the important thing is, as a mindset, as a business, you want to be testing 5 new ways every single month. So that means in a year, you've got 60.
Right. So it's the idea.
60 new ways that you've launched.
Right.
Yep.
So the idea is that it's new. It's got to be new, something you haven't done before.
Yeah, correct. And it cannot be something you're already doing and say, hey, you know, let's just do something we did last year. Because it's forcing your brain to innovate. You're forcing your brain to be creative. See, our greatest power is our imagination.
Okay.
So that's our greatest power. And too often people stop using their imagination. Children use it all the time. But as we become adults, we just stop using it.
Okay.
And that's your greatest power. So you want to look at what other industries are doing, look at what other businesses are doing, and then use your imagination. You come up with 5 new ways and force yourself. Make it a KPI. Make it a KPI in the business. Every month we come up with 5 new ways. So that's why I'm saying, are you testing 5? And then I use the word testing. Because you got to test it. You don't know if it's going to work. So you test it small. So you test it small, and then if it works, boom, you go really big with it.
Right.
So you want to test. It could be a simple thing as a new script, a new telemarketing script, something you've never done before and something so bold. It could be something as simple as that. It could be hiring staff that you've never hired before.
Okay.
Maybe a certain target group that you've never hired. It could be even targeting a market you've never targeted, like government orders. So important thing is, are you testing 5 new ways to grow your business every month? And I'm getting clients to make this a KPI.
Right.
So whatever it is, you have to test. You just force it. Even if you're doing well, you just force yourself to test 5 new ways. It's just 60 a year. That's all it is.
Okay.
Now, there's 5 new ways. So that's the first strategy you want to do. So get the team thinking about this.
Right.
That's strategy number one.
Before we get to the second strategy, right, are there some opportunities to look out for during volatile markets such as this?
There are actually a lot of opportunities and interesting opportunities. Let me give you an example here. Let's say you're a restaurant. Now, if you're a restaurant, and first thing you'll know is many restaurants are dying and closing shops. So one of the opportunities is to take over another restaurant and buy it for really cheap. So that's an opportunity, for example. So you've got a restaurant that's shutting down, and you can come in and you can take over and say, hey, look, we're not going to give you very much for this business or almost nothing for it, but we take over all your leases. So that gives them the oxygen to just leave the business. Or you could go into mall spaces that traditionally you wouldn't get, and now you can go in. So you see the opportunity to go into malls that you traditionally couldn't go in because other businesses have left. Now you can. And another opportunity could be very good staff that have left companies who've been retrenched that you can pick up.
Right.
So there's just so much opportunity in the market. Every time there's a down economy, there's a huge amount of opportunity. You just got to see it.
Right.
You've got to train your eyes and train your brain to recognize these opportunities and take advantage of them and go in and take advantage of them.
Right.
Everywhere you'll see a lot of opportunities, actually. So this is something companies really, business owners, especially entrepreneurs, you've got to train yourself. You've got to train yourself to look for an opportunity and seize it.
Right.
And one of the biggest ones, actually, really is good staff. Because I think, I'm not sure of the numbers now, but I think it's more than 600,000 people have been retrenched or lost their jobs. So that means there's a lot of people in the market and some very good people as well who could be working for you.
Right.
So that's a really good opportunity out there.
Okay, second strategy.
Okay, so the first one was, are you testing 5 new ways to grow your business every month? And okay, if the answer is no, then make it a yes. If the answer is yes, very good. Number two, who are your best buyers? And are you investing intense special efforts to get these best buyers through the door? This, in other words, is your ideal client. One of the challenges for businesses is they don't know this. So if you look at your business and you look at the data, who are your best buyers? What sort of target market? Like, say, for example, I had a client who was doing a steamboat restaurant in Shalom, and their best buyers would be Malay families. So Malay families would be their best buyers. So once you recognize that these 70% of the business is made up of these best buyers, now are you investing intense special effort specifically for these families to come in to your business? Because a lot of businesses do what I call general marketing. So they don't target the marketing specifically for the best buyers. So now, especially during times like this, you want to get the most bang for your buck. So you want to spend some additional effort to target. So you want to make a list. Who exactly are our best buyers? Best buyers are not always in terms of people who spend the most with you. It could also be the people who are the easiest to close, the people who are, or the businesses that give you the least amount of trouble, or that put in large orders, but maybe not very frequently. However, they do come in. They come in with very large orders, and their payment terms are very good. So you got to figure out as a business, in strategy number two, who are our best buyers? Another word for it would be ideal clients.
Right.
Who are our ideal clients? So sit with the team again and start to make a list. Who are our ideal clients, our best buyers, and are we investing some very special efforts to get these best buyers through the door?
Right. Okay.
So that's the second strategy.
We'll talk about the third strategy in just a moment. Nine strategies for fast business success in any economy. I'm here with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Of course, he joins us the first Monday of every month. Nine strategies for fast business success in any economy. We've only gone through two. We're on to the third.
The first one was, are you testing five new ways to grow your business every month? Second, who are your best buyers and are you investing in 10 special efforts to get these best buyers through the door? Number three is this being policed with great diligence? Now, it's a related thing, but here's where I'm looking at your company's philosophy of dealing with very good customers. Do you actually police that? That means, do you actually monitor and watch and study how you're behaving as a company in terms of your diligence of bringing in all your best customers in? So in the first one, we're looking at the strategy of getting in the best buyers. Second, we're looking at the execution. In this part, we're looking at your execution ability, because sometimes businesses tell me, they say, Jeevan, yes, I know exactly these are my best buyers. You're trying a couple of things. So then I say, hey, listen, to get these best buyers in, what did you do yesterday? What are you doing next Tuesday? What are you doing on Wednesday to get them in? What are you doing on Thursday? And they go, oh, we're not doing anything this week. We haven't done anything yet. So you see, it's not being policed. So it's being talked about. It's being strategized, but it's not being policed. There's no great diligence in bringing it in. So this is a philosophical flaw in a business. Right. And now we go into number four. Do you master and proactively manage every aspect of your time and that of your staff?
Right.
So you see, let's take a look at a business again. So average business works from Monday to Friday, Sunday, Saturday. So they work Monday to Friday. Most people come in from about 8 o'clock in the morning to maybe about 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, question, what do they do that's actually productive in those hours? And if you really micromanage this and take a look at it, you find maybe only 3 hours out of those 8 or 9 hours were actually effective or productive hours. So my question then is, do you master and proactively manage every aspect of your time as an entrepreneur and that of your staff and team? Or are they just surfing the net, going on social media, having some fun, hanging around the pantry? So what's actually happening? Because I find a lot of time is being wasted. And sometimes it's just people are just stressed out and they're taking breaks all the time. So strategy number four is getting a handle on the time that you have in terms of work of yourself and everybody else in the office. Fifth one is your organization a highly productive and effective organization that squeezes 60 seconds out of every minute? In every business, so here's the question. What's the highest and best use of my time, of every minute, of every hour of the business? What's the highest and best use of it? And what are my weekly objectives I'm trying to achieve? So here's where you're looking overall at the company. As a company, are we a highly productive and effective organization, or are we just simply wasting the weeks? In just another 4 months, the whole year's over. It's just like that. So how much did you achieve? How much has the organization actually done? How much has the organization achieved? So that's strategy number five. You know, you're getting Habu into place. You're looking at your highest and best use, your weekly objectives. That's number five. So now we go on to number six. Are you mastering the skills to keep your prospect's attention and sell to him or her like a master? So in this strategy, you're looking and working with your team again to train everybody to keep a prospect's attention. One of the problems we have today, especially now, is because there's so much happening on social media, so much happening outside of it, the attention span of a prospect is only in front of your business for a brief few seconds or even few minutes, and that's it. Example, let's say you're a developer, you put up an advertisement on social media for a property, and you get someone messaging saying, PM me the price. PM me the price, PM me the location.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't act on that and you don't do more than just having that advert, the person has lost interest.
Right.
And they've moved on to something else already. So one of the things you as a business right now that you absolutely have to master is your skill of keeping your prospect's attention and selling to this person like a master. So when someone shows interest, you may have a sequential marketing method, meaning you sequentially, in a sequence, you send out a couple of things. Maybe the first step, you do a response. You talk to them, you keep them interested. Second, you send them a questionnaire.
Mm.
Third, you email them a fact sheet. And you keep the attention going until they make the buying decision.
You know, I know so a lot of companies lose a lot of people because they don't act on it.
And they don't act
on it quickly enough.
Correct. And it's a real shame, you know, Frida, because you could have bought. They could have bought. So just take yourself as an example.
Yes.
How often have you gone to a business, you showed interest in a product or a service, and you just didn't buy?
Right. Because the person that, I'll probably be looking at two companies. The one that responded to me faster would have gotten my money.
Correct. And sometimes they may have had a product that you're not as interested as the other one.
Right.
However, they sequentially hammered you with all kinds of marketing tactics, and you end up just buying.
Mm.
And this is a major problem for businesses right now. And not just B2C, but also B2B.
True.
Because you see, the important thing to understand is options. We all have many options. So that's an important thing to understand. So if you show interest in, say, a BMW, and you're really keen, and suddenly Mercedes comes along, and it's this huge deal and all kinds of stuff, and they sequentially market it, you may just end up buying a Merc.
Right. You see, but
and that can just change. So this strategy is so critical. You've got to sit with the team and say, hey, guys, let's be honest here.
Right.
Do we actually have the skill to keep our prospect's attention and sell to this person like a master?
Right.
And if we don't, what are we doing? How are we developing this skill?
But
you want to keep that attention. You want to be absolutely brilliant at this because everyone's very distracted. And the easiest way to understand this is imagine some drama that has happened in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Say today something, a big drama happens in our politics.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happens 2 weeks from now?
Right.
And this is the thing, you know, you'll be surprised because our minds are heavily distracted.
Yeah.
Every single second, there are all kinds of corporations fighting for your attention, and they're doing all kinds of things on social media, online, offline, everywhere. So businesses need to now start developing the skill of capturing attention. It wasn't very important many years ago. It didn't really matter. Now it does. Yeah. So that's number six, strategy number six. Number seven, are you an outstanding education-based marketing master? It's no longer good to just market anymore. You have to be an education marketer.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to educate prospects on the features of what you sell, the benefits of what you sell, the advantages of your service and products over competitors, and testimonials of all the kinds of great people who've benefited from it. Because you're now dealing mostly with customers who already are educated buyers. So you need to be an education-based marketing master. And a lot of businesses don't do this, actually. This is interesting because when you do that and when you engage the person's brain and emotions, not just the brain alone, but brain and emotions, you engage both, your chances of a sale is a lot higher.
Right.
So you want to spend some time. Sometimes someone may not even be interested in something that you're offering. But as you educate them and show them how this actually benefits them, boom, they start becoming really interested. And this could be anything, any kind of service, any kind of product. So that's strategy number seven. Number eight. How many customer testimonials are you collecting each month, and are you building stories around these? There are two parts to this.
Right.
First one is how many are you collecting? Businesses aren't even collecting testimonials anymore, and some don't bother with it until it's really late. So you want to start collecting them as a habit of the company. It's just a habit. You constantly collect these testimonials, and you build stories around them.
Hmm.
So you say, okay, we got Mrs. Lim who did this, 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 and we did this with her, and this is what happened. We've got company XYZ that we produce these services for this company, and this is what happened, and this is how they benefited. And you want to work stories around this because the brain absolutely loves stories.
Right.
So don't just collect a testimonial, but build a story brand around it. And the businesses love that.
Right.
It's proof that what you're offering is really good. Number nine,
mm-hmm.
This strategy is an interesting one. What 12 areas are absolutely crucial to your business exploding with success And what steps are you taking to move these 12 areas forward every week? I call this your impact point areas, meaning every business has about 6 to 12 areas that have either a direct or indirect impact on the profit of the business. So these 12 areas, what are you doing? Of course, one, you could have a generalized big area like, say, marketing, or you go more specifically like telemarketing or social media advertising. Let's say your business is built on a lot of Instagram and Facebook ads. So you may want to go down to social media advertising as one of the impact areas. Another impact area could be alliances that you form.
Right.
Another impact area could be product innovation. You've got to keep coming up with new things. For example, a restaurant has to keep coming up with new innovations on their menu, maybe food for tea time or a new kind of breakfast. So that's another impact area. So, and then the question is, are you moving this area forward every week? When you break your business down to these 6 to 12 areas, the most important 6 to 12 impact areas, and you spend efforts to move it forward every week, you will smash your competitors in the market. You'll do very, very well. You'll become a very thriving and successful company because you're working on the most important areas.
Right. One final question, right? When you talk about cash, yep. right? And people do talk, say cash is king, right? What's the fastest way to raise cash for businesses right now? Because great strategies, okay. you know, they're probably thinking, how am I going to raise cash?
Cash is king. So cash definitely is king. And businesses, that is everything. Now, the fastest way to bring money into your business is always by working with existing clients. Because they've already bought from you before. They already know what it is like to buy from you. And it doesn't take a lot of effort or money to get them to buy again.
Right. Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab in our monthly series, 9 Strategies for Fast Business Success in Any Economy. Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.